I'm so excited to be here. We're going to be starting a new service. This is a new series, not a new service. We're going to continue the service we're in, but we are going to be starting a new series. I like to do these kind of things at the beginning of the year just to kind of focus in and talk about it. I like to focus on kind of vision that we have as a church, and I like to focus in particularly on prayer. I just want to remind you as a church, like nothing we accomplish is going to matter for eternity minus prayer. Right? Like it just, there's no way to do things through the power of God if we don't talk to the God who brings those things into our lives. Like it is such a vital part of our relationship with Jesus to talk to and hear from God. Like it is such a big deal. I tell you this every time I talk about this. Some of you, prayer, like this time of talking to Jesus, it just naturally flows in your life. Like talking to Jesus is just something that you do all the time. It's something like long prayer times, they're a struggle for me. I'm just being flat out honest. Like when I come here, I it's a discipline. I think it's important. Twice a week, I come into this place and I pray for an hour. That is a discipline. For me, that does not come naturally to me. I'm a natural studier. I like to study, like spending time in the Word of God and like finding ways to relate it and digging deeper. That's just a natural part of my like makeup. But that long, concentrated times of prayer like that, that's something that I've had to work at my whole life to be better at, right? I say that to let you know you're not alone if that's you. Right? Some of you, it's easy. Some of you, you relate to what I'm saying right now. And some of you are in between those things. But I want to encourage you with the thought that no matter about whether it's easy or a discipline, it's important. Right? It's important for us to talk to God and to hear from God. We talk about that a lot. I think there's a lot of times where God wants to say something to us, but we never shut up long enough to listen. Right? Like it's part of the discipline of prayer is the discipline of listening, right? How many of you love having a conversation with that person? I'm this person a lot of times, way more than I wish I was in a conversation that won't shut up, right? Like, and you're trying to get stuff in and they just won't give you an opening, right? It's like they don't need to breathe. I am that person, right? Mandy, she's like kicks me under the table. And I used to be like, why are you kicking me? I've learned after 20 some years of marriage that she doesn't like it when I call her out for kicking me under the table. Yeah. I think sometimes God might feel like that. Like, man, I want to speak into your life, but you need to listen. The discipline of prayer is not just disciplining yourself to make time to talk to God. It's making time to listen to him as well. It's part of it. It's part of communicating with our Savior. It's such a big deal. So what I want to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to look at a couple of places in Scripture where we can see some prayers. And we're just going to mine some things out of it. I'm going to read a psalm, and then I'm going to talk about another prayer that's in Scripture. And I just want to help you understand some things. Like I said, this is not a just natural skill of mine. It's funny. I can talk to anybody. I can see eye to eye for way too long, right? Like if you bump into me at Walmart and you're in a hurry, I'm sorry. Like you need to say I'm in a hurry because I'm going to talk as long as you stand there. Like that's just what's going to happen. But this, the prayer times, like I said, it's been something I've had to learn to do. And the ways, I'm a studier, and so the ways that I've learned to try and help prayer is I've looked at the way other people pray, and I don't pray them verbatim. I'm not here to say just repeat them, but what are principles you can learn from them, right? What are principles you can learn from? So we're going to start in Psalm chapter 62, and we're going to read this psalm. It's a psalm of David, and I just want you to kind of hear it here. David, I believe, was a natural prayer guy. Right? Like he wrote these songs and prayers to God that just seemed to flow out of him. When things were good, when things were bad, it doesn't matter. David wrote it down for all of us to see, right? The ones that are super pretty, the ones that are like, oh, should that be in the Bible? He wrote them all down. And he just talked to God. Psalm chapter 62, verse 1. I wait quietly before God. For my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies come against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. At different times in my life, I can relate to every single part of that psalm, right? Every single part of that psalm. You ever felt like, how could so many people be against me at one time? Ever felt that way? Ever felt like they just see you as a broken down person with nothing to offer? Ever feel like there are people that are just planning to topple you down, like to try and take your job, to take your role, to take your place, all of those things? They're just waiting and hoping and actively involved in trying to take you out. Ever feel like they just love to tell lies about you? That they say one thing to your face and another thing to anyone else who will listen? David knows what that's like. And he tells us how to deal with it. He tells us how he deals with it. He waits quietly before God. He places his hope in Jesus. He understands that God alone is the one who will never change, right? These are the kind of prayers that I hope that you put down, like put a little bookmark in your Bible. If you use an electronic version, you know, set the little bookmark thing there. If you're a person that doesn't, write it in the margin somewhere. These are prayers that I go to when I don't know what to pray. Like when I don't know what to pray, when I'm just in a season and I can't find words to express what I'm feeling to God, there's like 12 Psalms that I just go to and I just read them out loud and I just pray them to Jesus as a prayer. And I just let David's words be my words. Because there are just times in my life when I felt exactly like that, but I couldn't express it. We need to have these kind of things ready to go, right? We need to have these kind of things in these seasons. Anybody else, you ever gone through a season where you just felt like the whole weight of the world was on your shoulder and you didn't know what to say to God? Anyone? Anyone else? You felt that way? I have no idea what to say. For everything else in life, we have a plan, right? When we feel like that, we know who to call. We know what to do. We know, there is a plan in every other way of our life. In business, we make plans for those kind of seasons where it's like there's nothing coming in and everything going out. We plan, but then life comes along and we don't have a plan on how to talk to Jesus in those times. And I just want to encourage you, mark it down. If this one isn't your thing, find a different one that is. David had, or not, they're not all David's, but there's 150 Psalms. Right? You can go in there and you can find something where your words can be poured out because it's exactly what you're feeling. And I just want to encourage you, take some time, write them down, get them ready, because there are going to be times when we need it. I want you to think about what you know about the Bible, right? If you're a guest with us and you've never opened the Bible before, you can just take a minute and listen. But I just want some people in here that have studied the Bible, that have looked at the Bible. I want you to think about some times in the Bible where people came to Jesus specifically expecting Jesus to do something for them in a moment. Name some stories, like literally out loud. I'm asking you to talk in church, okay? The 10 lepers, we talked about that one last week. They come to Jesus, they're asking him to be healed, right? Who else? What else? What's another story? Barnabas. I'm sorry, what? The soldier, yep. When the soldier comes for his daughter, yep. What was another one? I heard another one. Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, please heal my sight, right? What else?
David in the lion's den.
Say it.
David in the lion's
Daniel and the lions, then they go to God and they understand, yes, there's no surviving this without God, right? What else? You raising your hand or you're stretching? You're stretching? Okay. What else? What's another one? Sarah? And Abraham, yep, yep. She's asking for God to give her a child. Yep, what else? Now are you raising your hand? Okay, what do you got?
David and Goliath.
David knows. Read the prayer before he runs into the field with Goliath. David knows he has no chance. The only way David wins is if God intervenes. He knows that. Read the prayer. He knows he is outmatched in every way, except his God will defend him. Right? Like, it's incredible what happens. What's another one?
Lazarus.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't go to God. He laid in a tomb, and something amazing happened, right? Like, it's incredible. It's incredible what happens. What else?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
I love it. They go to God, and they're like, we're going to die. We're going to burn alive. Right? And they look at the king and they say, our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we will still never compromise. That's like my favorite moment in the entire Bible. I love it. They're not sure that God is going to come through, but they know he can. And they're going to hold faith in that God no matter what. Right? No matter the outcome. I love it. What else? I just heard two things at once. A dream interpretation by Joshua is what I heard. Those two stories do not go together. Daniel's dream interpretation, Joshua. Yeah, there are so many places in the Bible where people go to God, where people go to Jesus, and they expect God to do something. And listen, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? That means the God who answered all of these prayers in Scripture is available to you today. It means he doesn't change. He remains constant. Everything else changes. But he doesn't. He remains steady. He remains constant. It's such an important thing for us to understand. I want to talk about a prayer of Paul's today. We spent a lot of time talking about Paul leading into Christmas. I'm going to read one of his prayers today. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. If you've got a paper Bible and you're not familiar with it, it's in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you hit any one of those four, you kind of know where you're at there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to start. Paul, it's important to remember, when Paul writes this letter of Ephesians, he is in prison. Okay? He has been arrested for teaching people about Jesus. That's his crime, that he taught people that Jesus is God. And they threw him in jail for years. Ultimately, he was killed for that belief. Okay, ultimately, they beheaded him. While he was in prison, waiting on this illegal trial that he was about to have, he writes the letter of Ephesians. Okay, he writes to the church in Ephesus. They're called the Ephesians. That's why it's called that. He writes this letter from jail. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 16 through 21. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's pretty incredible. when you think about where Paul was and what he was experiencing, that this is the prayer that he would write out. I've said this multiple times in here, and I try and be careful when I say this, because I absolutely believe God wants us to come to him with our needs. I absolutely believe he wants us to do that. But I think sometimes we fall victim of only going to God with our needs. The only times we talk to the creator of heaven and earth is when we need something from him. It's an easy pattern to get into. And even when things are going good for us, our prayer sounds more like a wish list on Amazon than it does a prayer to the creator of heaven and earth. Right? We almost talk to God sometimes more like a genie than as a savior. And it's a trap that's really easy to slide into. Now, again, I do not want you to hear from that you shouldn't take your needs to God. We absolutely should. We absolutely should take our needs to Jesus. But relationships aren't always fun for us when the only time we talk to somebody is when they need something. Right? How many of you have that person in your life that every time you see their number flash up on your phone, you know they're going to ask you for something? Yep. Anybody? You know that they're going to ask you for time, money, resources. It's different maybe every time, but you know that if they're getting a hold of you, it's because they need something. How many of you, that's your best friend in the world? That's not how relationships are built, right? Right? They're your friend. Maybe. Maybe they're just somebody you met once and they know you have a lot of stuff. Maybe they're your neighbor. That one that always borrows everything and never brings it back? Yeah. How many of you have been that person in a relationship and maybe didn't realize it until somebody called it out? Right? Now hear me. This is not me encouraging you to not ask for help. We absolutely should be people who are willing to ask for help. But if all we ever do is ask for somebody when we talk to somebody, that's not much of a relationship. Right? The same way that when the only time somebody comes to you is when they have an issue for you to solve, it's not really much of a relationship, right? How many of you understand, again, and I know I'm talking about a human perspective here, not a godly one, but I want you to bear with me for a second, okay? How many of you have those people in your life that all they'd ever do is ask, and then you have a good friend, and they both ask you to do the same thing, and it's a frustrating request from one, and it's a favor you're more than willing to hit head on for the other one? And what's the difference? Relationship, right? Now, please, you can only apply that so far to God, because God is perfect and good and holy, and he doesn't get tired of you the way I do sometimes. Just like you get tired of me sometimes, right? Is that okay? We can still be friends? Okay. How do we talk to God? I know that God wants a relationship with you. I know that God wants to meet your needs. I know that God cares desperately about every situation you find yourself in. But I'm going to go back to the first thing I said. He wants a relationship with you. Can I tell you one thing that you see over and over again in the New Testament is that miracles do not equal salvation. They just don't. I mean, if you think that miracles equal salvation, I want to encourage you to just read anything after the book of Genesis, right? Particularly read like Joshua or Exodus, right? Those people never saw God do more There's maybe never been a group, a generation of people that saw God do more than those two generations. And yet they're the most complainiest, whiniest, fickle people in their faith that you will see in Scripture. It's never enough. Miracles do not equal salvation. Relationship with God does. Relationship with God does. I'm not saying don't pray for miracles. I'm saying God wants relationship with you. He wants relationship with you. It's such an important thing. And Paul is sitting in prison. And I'm sure at different points in time, Paul prayed to be delivered from prison. I'm sure it happened. But in this prayer, sitting in a prison, in jail for his faith, this prayer that he writes to this church, does he pray that he be released? Does he ask them to pray for his release? Not one time in this one. If you're in prison, is it okay to pray that God would release you? Sure. But Paul understands a few things here that are super important. I want to just hit these for a moment, okay? I'm going to read something that one of my commentaries said about this. Paul knew that if the inner man is what it ought to be, the outer man will be taken care of in due time. Too many of our prayers focus only on physical and material needs and fail to lay hold of the deeper inner needs of the heart. It would do us good to use these prison prayers as our own and ask God to help us in our inner person. That is where our greatest needs lie. I know it's hard to think about these kind of things, but is it possible that some of the very people in Scripture that we read about God doing the biggest miracles for never developed a relationship with him and died separated from him? It's very, very possible. We don't know the end of the story. We talked about the 10 lepers last week and only one came back to even give thanks to God. Right away. I have no idea what their lives were. I'm not trying to tell you what they are. I'm not trying to read into Scripture that way. The fact of the matter is we just don't know. An outer need is great when it's met. It's fantastic. I'm going to continue to pray for those things, both for you, for my family, in those kind of things. I will continue to pray for those. But none of those matter if our relationship with Jesus isn't solid. They don't matter long term. They matter right now. It's important to us right now. But come eternity, the only thing that's going to matter is our relationship with Jesus. Here's four things I see Paul pray for. Ready? Verse 1 is found in verse 16. I pray that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. He prayed for inner strength. He wasn't praying for them to be able to dunk a basketball, to be able to run faster than somebody, right? To be able to tackle better. I mean, you can pray for the Vikings game tonight, but I don't think Jesus cares. He prayed for inner strength. Inner strength. That God would do something inside of them through his Spirit. Can I tell you, that is so important to us. I want to tell you, I will never forget her. Mary Jackson was her name. She was a lady in our church in Montana where we youth pastored before we moved out here. Mary Jackson couldn't have stood taller than about like this. But if there was ever a lady that I wanted on my side, it was her, because God liked her better than me. I'm telling you, like, I know God doesn't have favorites, but if there's somebody that I want praying for me, and it's Mary, and if there's one person on earth I don't want praying against me, it's Mary. God didn't really like her better than me. It's tongue in cheek. Don't write me off as a heretic. That woman was so full of the Holy Spirit, it was incredible. She prayed in King James. She did not speak that way, but when she prayed, it was King James, right? Like, she talked about these and thous and hithers and thithers in her prayers. It was incredible to listen to her, but I'm telling you, that woman knew Jesus. There was so much. Her body was failing. She had lived a long and great life, a hard life. And her body was failing. She was all full of arthritis. But I'm telling you what, you saw Jesus in her every single day. It was incredible. She was the only lady in the world that I didn't preach against. Like, she had a spot in church. And if you were sitting in her spot, she would whack you with her cane until you moved. No joke. She'd just whap you three or four times until you got out of her spot. And it was Mary, and we were all afraid of her. Inner strength. Outer strength is great. But it's always going to fade. It's always going to fade. Inner strength, that's something you can grow in every day. Paul knew what they were going to be facing. Paul knew that they were facing death. Nero was emperor. People were dying left and right for their faith. And he prayed that they would have an inner strength that comes from the Holy Spirit to go through their lives, because it's what they really needed to get through their circumstances. Verse 17, this is something that I think is incredible. He prayed for depth. I pray that he will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. It's easy to have shallow faith. It's easy to have faith in God when everything is going super good. Right? When everything is easy and everything's bouncing your way, that's the kind of faith it's easy to have. That kind of relationship with God is easy. Right? Those kind of relationships with people are easy. When everything is fun and laughter and eating pizza and drinking Mountain Dew or whatever you do with your friends, when it's just all fun and laughter, those relationships are easy. But when one of you walks through tragedy, or when one of you messes up, that's when depth is required to continue. And Paul prayed that their roots would grow down, would grow deep into what? Into God's love. He prayed for depth of God's love. And he continues on in verse 18, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his what? His love is. Can I tell you, it's incredible. It's incredible to know God. It's incredible to know what he can do. But you know what really changes our life is when we understand how much he loves us. And Paul prayed that they would have inner strength, that they would find depth in God's love, and that they would understand more fully every day the love that God has for them. Why? Because that's what carries us through. That's what carries us through. That's what brings us through the struggle. That's what brings us through the storms. That's what carries us through the boring parts of between A and B sometimes, right? Life isn't always victory or struggle. Sometimes it's just happening around us. And we're just coasting. But understanding how much God loves us, that's what sustains us. And if you don't understand that today, I pray that for you, that you would understand that. And then he prays this. May you experience the what? The love of Christ, even though it is too great to understand fully. So get it. Get what he prayed from prison. Right? As he's sitting in a prison cell, wearing shackles on his wrists and on his ankles, stuck in the grossest conditions that you can possibly imagine, shuffled from town to town and judge to judge, not knowing if he's going to live or die today or tomorrow, he prays that they would have inner strength, that they would have depth of understanding of God's love, and that they would experience the love of God day in and day out. Why? Because he knew that was what was going to carry them through. that's what was going to carry them through. Our circumstances are not the same as theirs were, right? They're not. I don't live in Rome at the turn of the century, at the dawn of the new age, right? Our circumstances are not the same. You know what is the same? That God. Jesus is exactly the same. And while our circumstances aren't exactly the same as what they were facing, we have felt the great joys and the deep sorrows that they have. We have felt the hope and we have felt the fear. We have felt the extremes and the entire range of emotions just like they have. And you know what carries you through day in and day out in a consistently growing relationship with Jesus? Is this. That we would be strong on the inside. That we would grow deep into his love. That we would understand his love. That we would experience his love. And it carries us through. Can I tell you, I mentioned before, I'm a studier. It's a natural thing for me. I'm studying scripture. Studying my textbooks was not natural. But studying the Bible, that comes very naturally to me. But can I tell you, when life throws a curve and it shakes, I need to know who God is. It is not a waste of time to understand about God and to know about God and to know his word. It's how we can understand some of this stuff better. But what I really need in those moments of just despair and doubt is his love. Not just more knowledge. Not just more knowledge. But to really lean into the God who loved me enough to die for me. It's such an important thing. Please don't hear, don't study from that. That is not what I'm saying. But it's so important. And I would ask you today, as we talk to Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, I'd love to have a conversation with you about him. Let's talk about it. Come up after church. Let's have a chat. If that's too much for you, ask the person who brought you today. Ask him some questions. Talk to him about Jesus. It's a big deal. But what I would ask for you today is, if does your prayer life, when we talk to God, does it reflect these type of requests? Or is it just a list of requests from God for stuff, right? Physical stuff, healing. Like, Jesus even modeled in his own prayer, and we'll get to that once or one of these weeks about his prayer that he modeled asking God for stuff, but he also first had his prayer acknowledge who God was. It's not wrong to ask God for stuff, but if that's the sum and whole of our conversations with Jesus, we need to work on that, right? And I just want to encourage you, as you're praying for the people in your life, which I'm just going to assume that you are, these kind of prayers matter. You can pray for their needs. That's great. But our first need is always more of Jesus. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you love somebody as broken and flawed as me. Jesus, you demonstrated that by dying for me. You showed us again who you were by rising from that grave. Wow. God, I pray for everybody in this room, everybody that's watching online, listening to a podcast. God, I pray that you empower us with inner strength through your spirit, that you will make your home in our hearts as we trust in you, that our roots will grow deep into your love and that'll keep us strong. And may we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love for us is. May we experience the love that you bring into our lives, even though it's so much we can never fully grasp it. And may we be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from you. Now we give you all glory, the one who is able through your mighty power at work within us to accomplish so much more than we could ever ask or think. We give you glory. Amen. Have a great Sunday.